one secret which you must know. When someone performs austerities or a vrata, when he sees you after he has performed austerities or a vrata, the benefit of, let me say, part of the benefit goes to you. So I hope you have not plundered Maharaj of his acquired treasures. But I also hope that you have gotten some benefit. So what we will do now is, we have heard a little bit about inspiration, how to chant. You've heard a little bit about the tattva of the holy name. You've also heard about the different inspirational points. Now I would like to come to the methodology, how to chant the holy name. And then I will, then there will be time also to see if you have any relevant questions and so on. Looking a little bit where we are, because I have so much material that I do have to make a choice what to take and what not to take. This is nice. Now, you must know that in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, there are three stages. And according on what stage the chanter is, he will have a corresponding and different realization of the holy name. The first stage is Nam Aparad. It's where a devotee commits offenses when he chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. On this stage, Krishna will not reveal himself. You will only, on this stage, chant the letters of an alphabet, that is K, K, R, S, N, A in English, but you will not have Krishna. Krishna is not forced to come, and he reserves his right to not be revealed to the devotee who chants with offenses. The second stage is where Krishna is slowly revealing himself. It is when a devotee tries to avoid offenses. It is called Namabhasa. The example, then the last stage is called Shuddhana, or the pure name, where Krishna and his form and qualities are fully revealed to the chanter. The example has been given of the sun. Here at Radhakund, we can see very nicely, we sit on the roof, Shrishtikata, Dinanath and myself, we are chanting, and there is a stage when the sun is not really visible. Then it becomes a little bit more visible. You can see some red ball hiding behind trees and clouds. And then finally, the full-blown sun, the eastern sun, is visible. You have different states in between. At first, it's not at all visible. Then is when you chant, the same holds true when you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with offenses. You don't really see anything. You don't feel anything. But then, as you're trying to avoid offenses, the holy name becomes visible to a great extent. This is in here in Radhakund. I'm just seeing the sun already. But she is very red, like the red of Krishna's eyes. There's some reddishness in Krishna's eyes. The Aruna, beautiful red. And at that time, the darkness flees already. So when a devotee begins to try to avoid offenses in his life, then already miseries start to flee away from his heart, just like the sun begins to, like the darkness begins to fade away when the sun rises. And finally, when the sun is fully present, and the sun of the holy name is fully present, at that time there's full enlightenment in Krishna consciousness. Shodhana means the pure name, when Krishna is purely revealed to everyone. So in Krishna consciousness, we really want to come to this stage of Namabhasa and Nam and Shodhanam. We want to absolutely avoid the stage of Nam Aparad, chanting with offenses. Once Bhaktivinoda Thakur was with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur traveling, and they came to a deserted temple. It was late and they needed to sleep, so they went in the temple, and in the night a ghost came. The ghost started to throw bricks at Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It was a real wild atmosphere. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, not knowing what else to do, continued. He got up and chanted Hare Krishna very peacefully. And after some time, the ghost became peaceful. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur asked him, "Who are you and why have you become such a ghost?" And the ghost answered, "Oh, I was a pujari at this temple, making many offenses. That's why I was born as a ghost. Now because you chant purely, you are delivering me." Now I'm not wanting to say that if you don't come to the platform of Namabhas, then you will become ghosts. That is not what I want to say. But I want to say the full benefit. You cannot get the benefit if you are continuing to chant with offenses. So therefore I thought to very quickly take you through a list of the 10 offenses. The first offense really, and I feel that is the offense which we do mostly in our movement, without really thinking deeply about it, is that we make offenses against devotees. We talk bad about them, or we think bad about them, or we just don't become happy when we see them. You can become ill-motivated against devotees because you might think, oh, previously he did something wrong. Or you might think he's now not totally conforming to Vaishnava behavior. Or you might have a bad accident with that devotee. And in this way, you begin to think bad and then talk bad about this devotee. See, from Krishna's perspective, every devotee who is engaged on the path of Krishna consciousness is considered to be a saint. Even if sometimes something unexpected happens, Krishna knows from his perspective this devotee is on the right path and soon will become alright. He's like a person under the shower, so to say. He may still have some dark spots on his shoulders, but if he stays under the shower, the dirt will go away. So if Krishna is so willing to forgive his devotees and see him with the spiritual eyes, if Krishna is ready to look over our conditioned nature, which sometimes gets into the way of our spiritual desires, we must also do this. My private tip to you is, if it's too hard with some devotees to see their constitutional nature, then just have a respectful distance for some time until it is possible for you to again see the spiritual nature. But if we continue making this aparad, this Vaishnava aparad, Krishna will never become manifested in his holy name. We must fight against this like anything. See, we have now this great opportunity to meet Krishna and all his associates in the form of the holy name. Shouldn't we work a little bit to make it possible that this full revelation takes place? It's a rhetorical question. It is answered already. When you have done a Vaishnava apparat, then what you should do is you should work very hard to make it good by either giving presents to this Vaishnava, pleasing him with words or with your behavior. But don't let this Vaishnava apparat stand like a dark cloud in your practice of chanting. Do everything to get rid of that cloud, because after all you want to meet Krishna, and he has a very deep, let me say, criterion. The next offense is to consider the names of demigods to be equal or independent of the Lord, of the name of Lord. I will not talk about this because most of the ISKCON devotees don't think like this. We don't come from a Hindu background where this offense is maybe done. The third offense is to not obey the orders of the spiritual master. Now, there are three spiritual masters in our line. The first is the Diksha Guru, who gives us initiation. The second, the Shiksha, who gives us instruction. Shiksha Guru. And the third one is the Founder Acharya, the one who has organized a certain trend or strand in Vaishnava, the Vaishnavism. As far as not obeying the orders of the spiritual master, I can really think of one thing in relationship to the holy name. Prabhupada once said, of all the instructions of the spiritual master, to chant 16 rounds without offenses is the most important. So let us follow this with great enthusiasm. Let us follow this order and not commit the offense. What to do when you have made offenses against the holy name, or against, and against following this instruction to chant 16 rounds? Well, there is a very nice prayer which one should chant to ask forgiveness. Those of you who want to read it, it's in the fourth canto, 7th chapter, verse number 30. It is said by King Daksha to Shiva after he totally offended him. But you can say this also to your spiritual master or to the holy name even. I did not know the glories of your personality, and therefore I committed an offense at your lotus feet in the open assembly. You were so kind, however, that you did not accept my offense. Instead, when I was falling down because of accusing you, you saved me by your merciful glance. You are most great. Kindly excuse me and be satisfied with your own exalted qualities. We can pray to our spiritual master, I did not know the glories of your personality. Please forgive me. You are so great. You can do it. A great person can forgive easily. And you can also pray this. This is actually mentioned in chanting in the holy name. Here. In the book Nama Kumudi, it is recommended that if one is an offender at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, he should submit to that Vaishnava and be accused. Similarly, if one is an offender in chanting the holy name, he should submit to the holy name and thus be free from his offense. If you want to read more about this, I have given you the Bhagavatam quotation. The Prabhupada talks about this methodology very nicely in the purport of 7.5.24. Mm-hmm. You are so great. Instead of withdrawing your mercy, you have done me a great favor. You have punished me, Hare Krishna. This is a very interesting verse to beg forgiveness from Vaishnavas and from the holy name. The fourth offense is to blaspheme Vedic scriptures. You can, when you have done something, like sometimes it happens maybe that we stop reading Prabhupada's books and we begin to develop different thoughts about Prabhupada's books which are less than respectful. What is recommended is, if this happens to us, this offense, read again the Vedic scriptures and worship them. Satvarupa Maharaj explains a very nice process to read in a worshipful mood. He says, you should pray to the Lord, please, when I read this book, give me answers to my questions. Often these books will develop into talking books if you just are ready to listen to them. Fifth offense is to consider the glories of the chanting to be imaginary. What you should do is against this, when you get into speculations about the holy name, oh, it's really not so big, and look at me, I'm really not a good proof of all these results of chanting. It must be exaggeration. Sometimes it happens, especially I can imagine during the seminar, you might have thought, if your thinking was in the brain, well, Maharaj was praising the holy name like anything, it gives all bliss, but I'm so full of unbliss. It can't be so good. If you have this doubt, you must listen more from devotees about the holy name, so that you stop thinking it's an imagination. I personally have learned a lot from Lokanath Maharaj about the holy name. I remember when we were in India traveling, the programs which we held were usually stopping at 10 or 11 o'clock and then people would go home. But Lokanath Maharaj was so enthusiastic. When all the people went their way, he started to chant again for 2 hours or so. And, you know, because he is a convincing devotee, I immediately joined him and also thought, yes, we are swimming in the nectar ocean of the holy name. It really works. Wonderful. I got a lot of faith and did not think it's imagination any longer. The sixth is a little bit similar to give an interpretation of the holy name. Same thing, hear more what it is. And the seventh offense is to commit sins on the strength of chanting. Now there are two types of sins really in Hare Krishna. Welcome. There are two types of sins in spiritual life. One is not so bad, and the other is has very harmful effects. The first type of sin is what you do accidentally. Like maybe in your following of the four vows, you have a little fall down, but it was not done by intention. It just came over you. Krishna is prepared to forgive us these sins. He says he's on the right path. Soon he will become righteous. When there is a spot on the moon, we don't criticize the moon. So this type of thing is not so bad. But it's not good, the best thing in the universe, but Krishna forgives it. But when you may have a sin which you meditate about, like, when I'm in the Vedas and there's the full moon of the January, I will break all the three. I will break three rules and regulations. I won't. This is not good. This is an offense. The eighth offense is to consider the chanting to be a ritualistic thing. You do it out to get something else. I will not comment on this because usually I found devotees make chant in a ritualistic way, but this offense is more or less to make the chanting so that you get some result like you would get in the karmakandic activities. The ninth offense is something to make us wake up. It is to not chant the preach the glories of the holy name to the faithless. I was very often thinking about this because we do public programs. Is our very much, we like this very much, and we enthuse everyone to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That's our desire. What does this mean? Well, the first meaning of not explaining the glories of the holy name is something which does not refer so much to us. It is giving initiation to a unworthy disciple. But the second meaning is really, if you go into the glories of the holy name and spread and preach it to someone who has no adhikar, no qualification to understand. And a little while ago, I found a very good example which I want to narrate to you because it's very blissful. I remember I always wanted to know why in the Radharaman temple there is no deity of Radharani. The deity is called Radharaman, but there is no Radha. What is the matter? Why is Radharani missing? And somehow, by Krishna's mercy, I'm a little friend. Padmanabha Goswami considers me the friend of the house. And last year, I finally was able to extract the mystery from him. He said, Maharaj, we tried for 200 years to put a Radharani next to Radharaman, but he would not accept her. She would be missing the next day. And then one pujari thought, the reason why Radharaman is not accepting the Radharani is because he is a self-manifested deity. He manifested from Sri Shalagram Shila. But the Radharani which we put next to him is made in the by the deity bola, by some person who carves the deity out of, you know, who maybe pours metal into a form and then makes it nice and so on. So we must have a self-manifested Radha. So they waited. If maybe Radharani would manifest herself on an altar. But she did not manifest herself. So then in a dream, Srimati Radharani appeared to one pujari and told him, you don't know? I am not different from my name. When my name is chanted properly, then I am manifesting. That is how I am self-manifest, from my name. You take some gold and you carve the name of Radha in this gold. So they took a little piece of gold, like a coin, but you know, flat piece of gold, and they carved Radha in it, and then they put it next to the Radharaman, and they put some cloth over her, but it's sideways, so that no one can see that there is no face in this deity. You're looking at me with eyes, with question marks. See, let us say, this is Radharaman, this deity, facing you. So they put next to him this golden plate with the Radha's name. But because they didn't want, they put a zari above her. But because they didn't want that anyone could look and see no face, they turned for better. Radharani is chant like this. Please come to the Radharaman temple and witness it with your own eyes. You will find a wonderful illustration of how the holy name is non-different. This is done in deity worship, this illustration. It's very practical. But of course, these things we should not talk in our public concerts when a few hundreds or sometimes thousand people come and we want to introduce them to, for chanting Hare Krishna. We should not tell them the secret of the Radharaman temple. Because they would say, oh no, this is imagination, it doesn't work. The tenth offense is to still keep the concepts of aham mameti. This is me, this is mine. My dear devotees, all of us live in an invisible prison. The prison bars of this prison is the ahankara, the false ego. And the it consists of two types of very hard metal. This is me and this is mine. If you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, you must give up this prison of aham mameti and in this way make progress. Now, Hare Krishna, we come into the graveyard shift. I will just end this thing by reading to you from my book. It's in German, but it's not edited and will soon be out in English. How to go about with this avoiding the ten offenses. I personally think it is not good if we always think I must avoid offenses, I must avoid offenses, I must avoid offenses. If you think all the time about something, then this something will haunt you. There was once a bold-headed king, bold-headed like Shishikata, who has no hair on the head, it was very disturbing to him. He felt this very useless. Imagine this in Yugoslavia, Guneshwara, when someone is bold-headed, I think the groovy people all will laugh about him. You know, look at him. And he will imagine, or a martyrdom, imagine one of you would become bold-headed. You know, everyone would not be pleased to see you, and you might feel like disguising yourself. So the king said, I will give anything in the world if some hairs grow on my head. He was obviously not a Vaishnava who, you know, once I asked Shishikata, what if some hair would grow? He would think, this is the greatest curse. Then I would have so much work. But he was not a Vaishnava. He thought, let some hair grow. But no one could give him the oil so that hair would grow. Finally, he went to his prime minister. He was so desperate. He said, I give you, if you don't make hair grow on my head, then 100% I will kill you. So the prime minister thought for one day. The next morning he came and he said, Our Majesty, just take this oil and rub it on your scalp. It's called scalp, I believe, in English. It will work. You will get the most wonderful hair growing on your head. But there's one condition. You cannot think of rats. Absolutely don't think of rats. After showering, the king went before the mirror and he massaged the oil in his head. And he thought, I hope I don't think of rats. Rats! I'm thinking of rats. And then after the day, it was not working. So the minister came in the evening and looked at him. Oh, Majesty, the hair is not yet grown? What was happening? I thought of rats, you know, work. But tomorrow I will absolutely not think of rats. So he went again before the mirror. And he said, I really do not want to think of rats. And then when he was thinking like this, all of a sudden a swarm of rats began running through his thoughts. And then after some time, I think he tried a third day, but then he finally took the glass of oil and he threw it on the floor. It doesn't work. So this is what you do when you think all the time negatively about something. If you always think, oh no, hopefully I don't offend this devotee, oh no, this and that, then you will do it for sure. So better is, don't criticize Vaishnavas, but serve them. Think, what do the Vaishnavas need? What can help them? If you take this mood, it will be much better. The second is, worship Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Read things about Krishna, so you will never think he is not on a, that a demigod is as powerful as him. Third offense, offer your spiritual master full respect who has initiated you in the holy name. Even if sometimes it's troublesome because, you know, we Westerners have difficulties with authority, at least the respect should be there. Fourth is glorify the holy, the scriptures. Say, Bhagavad Gita is so wonderful. The fifth, I don't want to go through all of this. These are points given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, how you can think positively. Better is you focus yourself on positive relationship towards the holy name. Hare Krishna. So I'm coming. This is what I wanted to talk about, the offenses and the positive process. I'm seeing now that it is good to make a little pause. Maybe what we can do, Krishnikata, you can maybe run downstairs and see it in the kitchen. We can serve some water to the Vaishnavas, because this will help us to be a little attentive. You can also walk up and down, or you can maybe use the time to just go down the alley and there go to the Radha Kund and sprinkle your head with the water and pray to Radharani to keep you alive. For the rest of the seminar, it will work 100%. I thought we should do it like this. After 15 minutes, we will make it a little longer. I thought we should we should take a question and answer series. In these 15 minutes, please, that you have, go deep into yourself and see if you have any question which you would like to ask me. Please, my dear devotees, it's a little strenuous for you, but not too much. Fight your conditioned nature. It's only the body who wants to sleep. The soul wants to chant Hare Krishna in ecstasy and complete the seminar. So we will ask questions and answers, and after this I will talk about the inner mood of chanting. Because if you just keep external rules and regulations going, then, but don't have the proper mood, then it will be very difficult for you to make the best use of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So we will talk about that then. So I'm expecting you back in 15 minutes. I must excuse myself that we put everything and don't make a midday pause now, but only at 3 o'clock or maybe 2:30. The reason is, see, originally I wanted to give this seminar over 3 days, and I have also prepared my materials for 3 days. But then it came to my mind that some of you are on Braj Mandal Parikram, and it's difficult for you to save 3 days. One day is possible, but three is more difficult. And the other thing is, I'm developing such a taste in the chanting of the holy name that, you know, I'm trying to develop, that if I interrupt too long, then I fear that I will come back in my preaching mood, which is, you know, so fiery and so temperamental, it will be very difficult for me to sit down and chant. So these two considerations are there. So please bear with me. It's an extraordinary seminar. A little tapasya is good to eat only 2 hours' time. That will be good. So we have 50 minutes now. This will be on my wristwatch. The hottest summer India ever had. Before that, it was the hottest, the coldest winter. So what we're experiencing now is nothing. It is cool like Europe, fragrant like the Himalayan mountain, refreshing like a bath in the Ganga. So please be fully awake.
Hare Krishna. So, this will be our last session, so to say. Somehow it seems that the, as if there's an echo. Is it coming from the Radhakund or
no,
is it from the echo machine? Oh. One thing which I wanted to say is that all of us can be very blessed because, and before you leave, you should come here. I have 2 things which will help you absolutely to chant. First is this. It is the lower thing is, how to say it, the dhoti of Srila Prabhupada, and on the top you have a piece of the original dhoti of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you can come here and touch it from the fingers. Here you have 2 pieces of wood from Lord Nityananda's stick. And this is the one twig I'm constantly praying to. It is a twig from Haridas Thakur's tree under which he sat. It's called the Siddha Bakuli tree. So everyone who has a connection with Haridas Thakur, he can, when you leave, he will put Shrishti Kata there and he will touch it on your forehead so that we will become good chanters by the mercy of Haridas Thakur. So now, I thought to go to a few questions and try to give a few answers to all of you. I have also another section called the internal mood by chanting. Let me see if you have any questions ready for now. No? Yes, Shashita? Shashika is asking, when we chant in the senior Vaishnava enters and we offer our obeisances, should we continue our round from where we left, or should we start the new round again? While I'm repeating your question, I'm thinking, that's why I come so slowly. This question that Shashika asked is a question which let me say we can deal with it on a superficial or on a deeper level. On an external level is, well, when he comes you just offer your obeisances and then you continue where you are. I think that that is a good thing. Now I think Shashika asked this question because she has heard we should be attentive while chanting our rounds as much as possible. So because this bowing down breaks the intention, so to say, what should we do? I feel when you become sincere in your Krishna consciousness, you will try to be as attentive as possible, and then you can even interrupt it and not go in a total different mind tangled. Attentiveness in Krishna while chanting your rounds is the most important principle, and you should work on it as much as possible. I'm always thinking like this, that to avoid all the 10 offenses may be difficult in the beginning, especially when we are beginners in Krishna consciousness. To become free from aham mameti, from the false ego, is such a difficult work. I remember calling Rati, who was a very nice Mataji who had cancer, and a few days before her death, she requested that I phone her, which I did, and she was with tears. She had tears in her eyes. I mean, I couldn't see that, but I could hear it. She said, "Maharaj, you have no idea how difficult it is to give up the false ego. I am the body. My body is not, I cannot use it any longer. Everything which I do has to be done with the help of others. But still I'm thinking of how I can enjoy this body. It's still there. It is so difficult." So if we are to give up all the offenses against chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, we are to give up also attachment to this body, attachment to the false ego. But this is very difficult. It's very difficult. To watch for all the 10 offenses in our spheres of life is so difficult, Shashika. But if you watch only one thing, then you can finish all the other offenses at the root, because all offenses really come from this one offense, which is inattention by chanting the holy name. One of my godbrothers once told me, desire to give up all offenses is good, but it's a fight like the fight of Kurukshetra. However, inattention is, you know, the war field is not so big. It's just your mind and your tongue, your hand is engaged, these three things, and if you concentrate that your hand is doing the right thing, your tongue is chanting the mantra properly, and that your mind is thinking, is concentrating on the holy name, you have a limited battlefield. You don't need to fight with the whole battle of field of Kurukshetra, but you can just do this with inattention. And you can just fight with inattention. Now the best way to fight with inattention is really that you develop your attraction to the holy name. And therefore some devotees have said it helps them very much if they read a little bit before they chant, or they have something to think about, you know, because then the mind is attracted. For instance, the Krishna book is very good reading material. You get in the right mood, so to say, so that you are attentive, that the subject matter of Krishna and his name interests you absolutely, and there is no reason to go away with your mind. Also, when chanting the holy name, it is good if you have some attraction, we said. The highest form of attraction is, of course, some love. So,
which is wonderful, see if you really love Krishna.
Krishna, you can put those words very, very much to your eyes and attention. So, I wanted to answer your question. I wanted to go to the rule, which is fighting inattention. Give you some ways how to do it. Mahorali.
My what? Huh? Yes, I understand, yes.
This is a very good question, which I would like to phrase even more, poignant, more. The English word is poignant, something like this, more drastic or more dramatic. And you have to see, Mahodari, fill your question which comes out. Sometimes devotees distinguish between an internal mood and an external mood. They say bhajan and chanting, bhajan is chanting and all these things are on one side, but then when one is engaged in devotional service, especially preaching, where one has to put a lot of energy in the, out, then this seems to be almost like not harmonious. How to bring the... many times devotees say, I go to Vrindavan and then I'm a totally different person. And then when I'm going in my preaching mood, I'm again a totally different person. Something like this, isn't it? You want to be the same person, not schizophrenic. It gets crazy to change. See, first of all, I also believe that this distinction between external and internal life in Krishna consciousness is an artificial distinction. Rupa Goswami describes Krishna consciousness as anushilanam, a type of cultivation. And this cultivation must be done by the body, the words, and the mind. In other words, all the three, the internal sense, the mind, and also the external, the speech and the body, are both the cultivation of Krishna consciousness. Rupa Goswami further describes that when a devotee is doing this properly, then the Swarup Shakti, or the internal energy of the Lord, is present. In other words, even in activities which are performed with the body and the speech, the internal energy is present. It's not external. A devotee, you can feel it by becoming empowered. Like, you know, in the preaching, sometimes things happen where you clearly know it's not because of yourself, not because of your talents, not because of your knowledge, but you are simply empowered. This is a very wonderful feeling, which shows that the activity is not just an external material activity, but a spiritual activity. Still, when we do things and speak things, the tendency, especially for us Westerners, is that our internal, let me say, our mind, is not so much connected with it. We do things automatically. Many our critics say, because we always act on authority, we don't really put our own thought to think and to work. We are just following orders and not which we have not realized. So I personally think it is the greatest challenge of my spiritual life to connect the internal and the external, so that I don't have the feeling when I do service with my, you know, acting and speaking, that this is totally separated from my internal interest, and that I become burnt out as a result of this, feeling empty and void. A devotee has to, so to say, connect or marry, we can even say, these two aspects, the internal cultivation, the mental culture of Krishna consciousness, and his activities. Only if a devotee manages to do this, it cannot be really called devotional service, because only then he has his three faculties intact, the mind and the body. If you don't use your mind, you are not using 50% of your existence. If you do things out of the passion and not out of a deep inspiration in Krishna consciousness, your activities will not satisfy Krishna so much, and you will feel it by becoming burnt out. So here in Vrindavan, a vrata is something totally different. A vrata means a vow which you take. You promise it to the personality before you take, before whom you take the vrata, and you say, "I want to do for your pleasure this, 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 at Svakadant every day." It is something which you do outside of the ordinary course of your activities, and then when you act in such an extraordinary way, you may change and transform and so on. But you are right that the ultimate goal of a devotee is not this constant fight or and insecurity. Is what I'm doing now material, and I should really chant, and only chanting is spiritual? No, Prabhupada, and based on Rupa Goswami, told us that everything is spiritual when it's done in with the attempt to, or with the motivation to please Krishna. Body, mind, and words need to be engaged in this way, and then there is a constant flow. I know in Germany also several devotees who have become older make this distinction between internal spiritual activities and you know, preaching and other things, but it is an artificial distinction which is not based on a deep understanding of Krishna consciousness. At the same time, when you are working in the preaching field, you have to take care that your batteries remain so charged. I think that is common sense knowledge. Hare Krishna. I was seeing you. Your name is, I know that you're the wife of Raj Bihari. Is it Ananda Vrindavan? The blissful Vrindavan. Yes?
Describe that by chanting and hearing the holy name, then the form and the qualities and the qualities. Sometimes I've heard somebody say that if you practice remembering the past selves as you're chanting, then that's another way to before they actually come to the result of your chanting, you can practice. By that practicing, that actually helps.
Yes. It is very, very nice question asked by a personality who lives in Vrindavan, because there you think about these questions. Now, this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a book called Naam Bhajan, where he tells how you can develop the thought of Krishna. He says, while chanting the name, you should continuously remember his spiritual characteristics. You know, it's Krishna. And also explain the meaning of the name to your mind. You tell your mind, this means, my dear Lord, please engage me in your service. Please attract me to you. While recollecting the meaning and form of the name, you should pray to Krishna with heart-rendering lamentation. So after this, you Krishna sees or hears a devotee who really prays for me, who really wants me to appear in his name, and then Krishna will give you his mercy. Without mercy, nothing can happen. And then, when Krishna gives you the mercy in the form of his personal form which will come, then Krishna appears for the first time. In other words, cry like very intensely and do this by meditating about the meaning of the name, and then the Swarup Shakti comes, which is a gift of the Lord. He appears. Now, this is more or less our line, where we differ a little bit from the Babaji line. And the Babaji line, which is also a Gaudiya line, practices Leela Smaranam as the first and foremost occupation, and they go the other way around. They go with the pastimes, they enter into them, they hear them. A great personality amongst them will give you your identity, and you go through the pastime. You do services there, you know, which is your identity. I personally feel that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has put this stress very much on the revelation of the Holy Name, that everything will come by the Holy Name. And Srila Prabhupada has also taken this in his preaching. And in this we differ a little bit from the practices which were done at Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time and earlier. So, if you ask me, I think our founder Acharya goes around this way. First the name, and then everything develops by the name's mercy. Now, Prabhupada was... But it's never so black and white. I will need your full attention for the second part. Once Prabhupada was asked, is it, you know, typical ISKCON question, is it offensive to think of Krishna by chanting the name? Prabhupada said, regarding your first question, is it offensive to think of Krishna's pastimes while chanting? I think you should know that it is not offensive, but rather it is required. One must try for the point when he simply hears Krishna and immediately all of Krishna, his pastimes, his form and his qualities are in his thoughts. This is what I have said in the beginning also. It should develop. You know, you hear the name and then everything comes. Jiva Goswami describes the word ocean, it brings with it immediately the form. You see water in your mind, then you see the quality, that is blueness. Then you see the Leela, which is waves. This comes all with the name ocean. So in this way, everything develops out of the other. So to always be immersed in thoughts of Krishna, this is our process. When we are full in Krishna, then well, there can be any chance for Maya in us. So this is our duty, to remember Krishna's pastimes. One who cannot remember Krishna, let him always hear Hare Krishna, and then when he has perfected this art, then always he will remember Krishna, his activities, his qualities. So you can see here in this answer, Prabhupada again talks about the revelation process which comes from the name. But I personally have made one experience which I want to share with all of you. As part of my Kartik Vrata, I'm always reading the Nectar of Devotion. And there are so many small pastimes of Krishna. So when one chants, then all of a sudden these pastimes come into the mind, unsolicited. But they are there, they have made a deep impression in the mind. So I think if you want to hear, if you want to see, I mean, want to think of Krishna always, you must read about Krishna. And the more you read about him, when you chant his name, all of a sudden, you think of Krishna. So please don't just only chant. If you are advanced enough, fine. But also read in the relevant literature, and then you will see how, when you chant, this aids the process of the revelation which we are interested in. Always think of Krishna, never forget him, is the most important principle in Krishna consciousness. If you don't learn this in this life, you might have to be born again, because whatever you think of at the time of death, it will bring your next birth. So if you do not learn to think of Krishna, how will you think of him at that crucial time that you will have spoiled this human form of life and not come to full Krishna consciousness? So, in answer to your question, I want to first make the point, it's a revelation. Everything comes out of the holy name. But because it's the most important principle to always think of Krishna and never forget him, you should definitely read, and read also about Krishna, the person. That's why Prabhupada gave us the Krishna book. And then you will think something. But this other thought, the thought comes up because we are here in Vrindavan, and there are many Babajis who are also advanced in Krishna consciousness, but their line is slightly different. And because we have taken initiation in the Saraswati family, we must know what is the process of our family to come to the full fruition. If we are two boats, you know, they might go shoop, and we might fall in the water. Are we going? If it's Radha Kund, it's nice, but if it's Maya water, it's not good. Good. Yes, any other questions? I'm always becoming a little bit worried if only the Mataji said questions, because what it tells me is that the Matajis think more intuitively and more creatively, and the male people, male intelligence is more systematic. So maybe I have not reached your left brain, the left brain of our room, the male intelligence, that I'm feeling very incapable. But it's very nice that I have at least reached the left, the right brain. But it must be two human beings have two sides. Katya, do you have a question?
Talking about remembering Krishna, and I was thinking many times that if I hear something about Krishna, like devotees are speaking about him, or I read something, and then a certain image of Krishna comes up in my mind.
Yeah.
Probably that is not actually how Krishna looks like, or it is associated with it. And I was thinking, what is actually the worth of such meditation?
Yes. What is the worth of a mental picture, image of Krishna? See, Rupa Goswami helps us in his book, The Nectar of Devotion, where he very much describes how Krishna looks like. He describes how he is dressed. He has four parts in his dress, a turban, a sash, something which goes around the belly, and a dhoti. He describes his different ages. In one age, his skin is so soft, when a leaf falls on the skin, it leaves an imprint. So he describes very personal information, his qualities, how he thinks about his devotees, and so on. And if you want to, it's correct, if you think about Krishna, it should be Krishna, not your mental image. it is correct. Therefore, it's necessary that you read these things, and then you can think really of Krishna, not the idealized prince of all your imaginations which you have projected on God. So then we will continue. Now I want to talk about the internal mood of chanting the holy name. If you want to stop this mechanized chanting, where you just go like, you know, the different forms of then you absolutely need to know a few things which will prepare you for ecstatic chanting of the holy name. The first thing you must do is enter the school of humility. It's a tough school, but it's very, very efficient. Humility means really to develop three qualities. One is to feel yourself as very humble. Even if you have good qualities, you may be able to sing very nicely, or you may be able to operate the computer with amazing velocity and accuracy. You may be able to ride on a bicycle without falling on the in the dust of Raj. But even if you have many qualities, you should see that whatever I can do, I can only do by Krishna's mercy, by Srimati Radharani's mercy. As soon as you fall out of this mood that you are an instrument in the hands of the Lord, then your chanting will become very difficult. You must have this mood where you conquer your false ego as being the doer and the enjoyer of this world. This is very, very important. It may not be easy for you to do this, but you have to learn it. The second quality is to practice forbearance. That means to tolerate. Here, in this situation, now it's very peaceful because all the Brijbasis are sleeping. It is after the lunch and the sun is hot. Now everyone lies on the left side. You can just walk around Radhakund. You will see many left-siders. but when they become awake again and enjoy the glories of singing the names on the loudspeakers, then it's a good time to practice forbearance. Whatever happens to you, let it pass you. It's one of the experiences in life which may be sent to you by Krishna to help you advance. Forbearance also means to be able to forgive. When someone has done something to you or said something to you or has not treated you in an encouraging way, learn to forgive. Forgive, forget. This is very important. Those who know me a little bit more know that this is always what I tell them. Forgive, forget. They have done it because they were under certain impressions and ideas, or because it's their nature and they need to learn something in this life. So just lower your head and forgive. Then the next quality which you should develop is respect others. Now, this doesn't mean that you are become Mr. or Mrs. Slimy. Is that an English word? Maybe a new creation. It is an English word. Yeah. You know, it's actually considered in proper culture to be offensive if you say, for instance, if I would say to Dinanath, you are the best singer in the universe, Dinanath. Whereas I know he can only sing on a certain frequency, a certain height. When it gets too high, then you cannot sing any longer. I have noticed this. So this would be offensive towards Dinanath. But there are other qualities which we should praise and encourage people. You will see, if you learn to encourage others for the real things which they can do, not for false things, but for real things, for real qualities, people will become so grateful and they will change to the better. And then try to not expect honor for yourself. It's very difficult, I know, but this is the school of humility. We have to enter this if we want to chant the holy name always without interruption. If you are a puffed up fool who cannot tolerate anything but who always makes adjustments to his or her comfort, if you are disrespecting others, then you stand no chance in chanting the holy names properly. The next thing is, what is the next thing on the inner mood is what is called, we are totally in the time, it is very good, to take care of the weeds which are growing. Anyone who is in the process of bhakti will see how after some time some bad things come on into his life or her life. And you could call them tests, but you can also call them weeds. Weeds are unwanted plants which come. Just like with any garden, your heart is also a garden. And if you leave it unattended for too long of a time, weeds will come and sprout. I think some of you have been either in childhood or in ISKCON farms working on the agriculture, and you know what I'm talking about. When you leave a piece of earth unattended, the weeds will come. How does it come? By the wind who blows seeds there, or by the birds who leave the bird values on your patch of land, the seeds are growing without being invited. So when you are wanting to make progress in Krishna consciousness, there are six type of weeds which will just come without you having invited them. The first is called Nishidacha. These are activities which are actually not recommended in scriptures and which are not good for someone who wants to attain perfection in spiritual life. These unacceptable activities may be in small compromises where you come actually too close to the material energy. They may come in your eating habits where you eat things which are not pure and cannot really be offered to Krishna. When you are a grihastha and you have a video apparatus, you might all of a sudden slip in a video called, I don't know, whatever. Now, the only person who knows what is nisidacha, that is forbidden activity, or what is alright to do maybe in your service or maybe for your information and so on. The only person who knows this is really Krishna and you. Whenever you go over this subtle border line where you do things which become actually unacceptable in Krishna consciousness, you will feel misery. Or you will feel at least the influence of the material modes of ignorance and passion, that certain feeling is all of a sudden there, and you know, step too far. So when you want to make advancement in chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, you must not cultivate these speeds. Be, let me say, intelligent, and take these weeds out, because if they grow too much, they may stifle your japa. You may feel all of a sudden, I can't get any longer to the chanting properly. The next is kutinati. Kutinati is a weed called diplomacy and falsehood. For instance, it means when you always want to find mistakes in others. This is the typical kutinati thing, like Ramachandra Puri, who always looked for mistakes in the Vaishnavas. This is something which is coming when our heart has no love, but when it has the opposite, that is enviousness, and then we want to find fault in others. Stop this fault-finding mentality, and also stop this lying mentality, because it's a weed, and if it grows too much, your bhakti lata will be stifled. The next weed is called jiva hingsa, which means violence. Violence can be done towards humans and animals, but violence, which I feel we often do, can also has a subtle form, and this subtle form is more difficult to get out of our system. The subtle form of violence is actually enviousness. Did you know this? If I'm envious towards some person, I actually wish him bad. Oh, he is really not so good. Oh, he is really a rascal. He is only praised by ignorant enthusiasts, and so on and so forth. You actually have a bad intention in your heart, and this is not good when you want to cultivate the holy name. The next weed is called labha. That is the desire for material profit. That if you do something, you want, you go like, what's in for me? I think I heard it first from Radhanath Maharaj, that most conditioned souls are tuned in this program. VHFM. What's in for me? Haribol. You understand, Mitra? You're looking with correct eyes. V, H, what? In what? H, I, what's in? No, four. No, I is swallowed, and then F, four, and M is me. What's in for me? We are very expertly tuned at this. When we do an activity, what's in for me? Haribo. This is called labha, or the desire for mundane profit. The next weed is puja, that you want to be admired by others and you want to be popular by others. This is a very bad thing which is there in all conditioned souls. I heard Katerina the Great, it's one of the queens, denied to open an envelope which was only addressed Katerina the Great. She demanded that there would be Her Highness Super Qualified Katerina the Great. Only if these other adjectives were there, Her Highness and Super Qualified, I don't know, it's maybe a Sashimana Swami idea, something, you know, Excellency or so, she would open. Very often we want to be honored, and this is because we feel so utterly insecure. We are not, we don't understand, we are a spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna. There's no need to be overly respected. And the last is pratishthadi, that is something similar, the desire to become important. These are weeds which you must take out of the heart if you want to cultivate the beautiful tree of the holy name in your heart. Hare Krishna. But, my dear devotees, about the internal mood, I really think this is now something personal. I really think that there's something else which must be there in the devotee. It must be, you must understand that at this moment, by your own desires and by the material energy who has answered your desires, you are separated from Krishna. It's a scandal. Guneshwara, you are an eternal part and parcel of Krishna, full of bliss and knowledge. Bhakti Devi, you are a pure servant of Krishna with an effulgent spiritual form which looks different than the present Nuremberg form, in German form. Dinanath, you are not from Croatia. You are a part and parcel of the Lord. But we are so much in this material world, in this material identification. What are we doing? Our hearts are full of diversion. We have no love for the most lovable person, Shri Radha and Krishna, who take care of us all the time. We turn towards insignificant things. A devotee who wants to chant the holy name and cultivate the Naam must become very interested to change the situation. He must be very much desirous to finally, how do you say, go back to Krishna and to become his loving servant. He must be very, very eager to do this. Lord Chaitanya has expressed this eagerness in a very nice verse, which I'm trying to find for you. Ainandatanuya kinkaram patitamam vishame bhavam bhujo tavakripaya parapam kajas tuti nistita duni sadrisham vichintaya. O my Lord, O Krishna, O son of Maharaj Nanda, I am your eternal servant, but because of my own fruitive acts, I have fallen in this horrible ocean of nations. Now please be cautiously merciful to me. Consider me a particle of dust at your lotus feet. You know, the devotee feels, I'm in the ocean of birth and death. The crocodiles and sharks are swallowing me. This is lust and enviousness. I'm helpless here, crying. I'm drowning in this ocean. If my Lord, if you do not come and save me, what is my future? I have no future, absolutely no future. The devotee, in other words, develops these beginning signs of separation. When you, Prabhupada has stated in the Nectar of Devotion, someone who chants the holy name with great material satisfaction, everything is alright. I have a good apartment and a good husband or wife and enough money on the bank account. My life is settled. The children are happy. Or I have my position in life. I have worked hard. Then you will not have this spirit of chanting the holy name properly. See, Krishna needs to hear how you are crying after him. He wants to hear this. I've often given this example, but I want to give it again. When you go when you are in your rickshaw and you go through Loi Bazaar, there are some people, there are the merchants who want to sell you merchandise, and they will call after you, Prabhu, Prabhu, Mataji, Mataji. But you know, it's not serious. They want to make business with you. But if your friend calls you with great affection, oh, Krishna Das, finally I'm seeing you, then oh, you become very much attracted. So Krishna wants to see how you're calling after him, not like a merchant, you know, with some other motive and some other thoughts in your mind, but as a humble servant, as a, Prabhupada says, as a child who cries for the help of the mother. It's such a good example. The mothers here know when the children, when the child cries, Mommy, Mommy, then they can go on with their business. But when they really go, Mommy, you know, there's a certain intensity. And then, you know, I have to stop everything. Or they could call, Mommy, you know, everything must stop now. I have to do this and see what's wrong and correct it if possible. So, Krishna also wants that we call in a mood of separation. My dear Lord, we want to come back to you. Please, be merciful towards us. Mm. Don't let the whole world get your mercy, and only me, who is the most fallen, does not get the mercy. This would not be proper. Our devotees in our Sampradaya have said, you are known as the most savior of the most fallen, but I am the most fallen, so you must help me. This is the logic. So I think we should know this as an internal mood. So Hare Krishna, now I would like to come to an end. Oh, can't believe it. For the first time in my life I'm in time without, you know, I couldn't prepare so much for this. Krishna's mercy, let me see. So, I want to go with you through a list now, which is very, very helpful, and in which I want to summarize a few of the points which I have made in the seminar. Or seminar sounds so interactive. This was only a lecture in my lectures. I want to give you a step-by-step process how you can come to a very high state of chanting japa. Are you ready? First, yes, if you want to write this, it will be helpful to write this down. First is to really make a determined decision to avoid offenses against the holy name. This means watching also in your life where the offenses appear. Think a little bit deep. The offenses appear here at this stage, and then you have to work in that area. Where are you particularly in danger of committing involuntarily or voluntarily an aparad? The second is, if you want to chant good, prepare yourself the day before. first of all make the decision, tomorrow I will chant proper rounds, and the next is go at an early time to bed. This is the third. Start early the next morning by choosing a place which is free from diversion. What is diversion, Mahodami, for our Yugoslavian devotees? Disturbances? Yeah? Who is Mirinite? Something, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Choose that place where you can be free from disturbance. That can be in the association of devotees who chant properly. But sometimes we find devotees are running so much up and down that you don't like, it has become difficult for you. Or if your chant, or then go to a place free from disturbance. Now, if your mind is cannot concentrate, here comes a very simple instruction from the Hari Bhakti Vilas. You will not believe your ears. Breathe properly. The best breathing for someone who is not a yoga breather is you breathe into your chest and then you breathe out with your stomach or with your belly, you know, pressing the lungs or breathing the contents of air out. You may laugh at me, but what I'm telling you is desperate exercise, you know, somehow it must work, and if you need this external help, take it. The Hari Bhakti Vilas mentions this as a method before chanting Gayatri Mantra, because in Gayatri Mantra you even need more your concentrated mind. So I also do it sometimes before I'm chanting. So now comes the fourth section. While you are chanting, chant in a flow. Don't interrupt it. I know devotees in Serbia who will always interrupt after, let me say, one mantra or maximum 10 mantras. I have measured this on my measurement thing. This is not good. You will not come into the flow of the chanting if you always interrupt. So chant in a flow. Best is like some of my good brothers do. They chant all the 16 rounds in one sitting. This is of course for intense practice. Now while you are chanting, sometimes look at your wristwatch. Why? To see if you are maybe if your hands are taking too many beats at once. This often happens. You're nervous like in Muslim, Islam they have these nervous beats. Are they for saintly purposes or they are for saintly purposes? Sorry, I said something wrong. This example is not good. So, you have to sometimes look at the wristwatch. Are my rounds at 5 minutes, 6 minutes, like this? You have your own speed, so you will know. Then the next thing is have a very exact pronunciation using your upper and your lower lips. This is what Prabhupada says, because if you want to meditate about the holy name, the sound vibration must be there. If the sound vibration is not there, then it's not a meditation about transcendental sound, but it is something else. But this japa meditation is a sound vibration meditation. I have heard that Haridas Thakur chanted how many rounds? 192, I believe, huh? 192. 64 of these rounds he chanted loud. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. 64 he chanted soft. And 64 he kept in his mind, the last 64. Now, to change in the mind, it is possible when your whole being vibrates with the chanting of the holy name, but when you just change it in the mind, the danger is there that you will be more diverted. So have a very distinct pronunciation. And then what the yogis tell you, keep sit properly. This is what Prabhupada always tells us. This helps you. Why does it help? Because your mind is connected with the whole system in which you work, the whole body, and you should when you sit like this, your mind gets more easily depressed or mental than if you sit like this. Amazing, isn't it? It is. This is yoga science. Then the fifth area is very simple. Concentrate your mind on the sound vibration. Just as you hear the sound, let the mind enter this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I have a tip for you if you want to concentrate your mind on the chanting of the holy name. It's a very simple thing. Gopi Shodas Babaji told his disciples and followers they should, while chanting, look only on the Hare Krishna Mana Mantra and not look and think of on something else. And he said, while doing this, Radha and Krishna and the Parikaras, their associates, will come out of the letters of the mantra. This is very nice. If you are interested in nice brains, you can ask Krishangi. She has made this for me. It's a very beautiful, extraordinary beautiful. So, now the sixth items comes, the sixth area is something for the intense people. It is more on mind control, but now we get very heavy. The first thing, if we want to control our mind, is we have to take it out of the past. The mind very often thinks, what was yesterday, what did he say, was I cheated in Loy Bazaar, yes or no. You know, it thinks of the past very easily. And the other thing is, it goes into the future, my plans, my desires, my hopes. Liberate the mind from these two fields, the field of the past and the field of the future. By just simply taking it back. If you are like me, that sometimes while chanting you get so many ideas, then take a piece of paper and a pen, write them down. The piece of paper will keep it for free. But if you don't write them down, your mind will always go like, what was that? What did I have to do? What did I have to buy? What was the... whom do I have to phone or contact, and so on. Write it down and be done with it. The seventh point is, try to come in the mood which is explained in the third verse of the Shikshastakam. We have talked about this Trinada Pisa Nichana, humility, forbearance and offering respect without taking respect. Try to come in this mood in your life. And the eighth is, meditate while you chant about the meaning of the holy name. My dear Lord, please engage me in your service. This can mean that you are allowed to do something for Krishna here. It can also mean that Krishna, takes you back to the Goloka Vrindavan, where you are engaged in your original spiritual form in the service of Radha and Krishna. This please engage me in your service is very, very, how do you say, important meditation for a devotee. And the ninth point is chant with a mood of, with a longing for Krishna. You know, longing, with a longing, mood of longing for Krishna. This is what I wanted to tell you and help you with. I'm just giving this to you for consideration. As you noticed, my seminar is a little bit full, but that's the nature of this, because I want to tell you everything. Now I want to read to you a poem from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and that will be the end of our seminar. And Shishtikata has gone, but not returned. Oh yeah. So listen to this. This is a realized description. It is taken from the Sharanagati songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And it is called Sri Nam Mahatmya.
Krishna Nama Dhare Kato Bol Vishaye Vasamalale Mora Chitta Sada Chale Ravi Sakta Maru Bhumi Tham.
Hare Krishna. I must tell you, I don't know the right melody, but for the humble attempt. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, what power does the name of Krishna possess? My heart constantly burns in the fire of worldly desires, just like a desert scorched by the rays of the sun. The holy name entering the core of my heart through the holes of my ears showers unparalleled nectar upon my soul. Then he describes how the holy name speaks to him. The holy name speaks from within my heart, moves onto the tip of my tongue, and constantly dances on it in the form of transcendental sound. My throat becomes choked up, my body shivers again and again, and my feet cannot remain still. He has to dance, in other words. Then he describes how he slowly falls into an ocean of transcendental ecstasy. Rivers of tears flow from my eyes. Perspiration completely sucks my body. Soaks, it must be soaks. All my skin thrills with rapture. He gets goose pimples. My hair stands on end. My complexion turns pale and discolored. He becomes white, in other words. My mind grows faint. I begin to experience devastation, and my entire body is shattered in the flood of ecstatic emotion. Then he said, the holy name doesn't allow me to understand anything that is happening to me. He is my master and he controls me. He, just like Lord Chaitanya, who said, came back to his guru and said, what type of name you have given me? I'm shivering, I'm experiencing so many things. What is going on? Such is the behavior of him in whom I have taken shelter. I'm not capable of describing all this. The holy name of Krishna is independent and thus acts on his own sweet will. And then he brings a point which we have discussed, how the holy name is like a lotus flower which opens more and more. The holy name is the bud of the flower of divine love. And bud means phupalyak, knospe. And is the very abode of astonishing mellows. Such is the power he manifests that when his holy name starts blossom, a little further, it then reveals his own divine form and qualities. He reveals everything. Thus my heart is kidnapped and taken directly to Krishna. And then the end, blossoming fully, the flower of the holy name takes me to Braj and reveals to me his own love dalliance, that means pastimes. This name gives to me my own eternal spiritual body, keeps me right by Krishna's side, and completely destroys everything related to this mortal frame of mind. Everything material becomes set back. The name of Krishna is a transcendental touchstone, a mine of all devotional mellows. It is eternally liberated and the embodiment of pure rasa. When all impediments to the pure chanting of the holy name are taken away and destroyed, then my happiness will know its true awakening. And with these words I want to conclude. My dear devotees, I wish you really all the best by getting to know your best friend, the holy name. Please take everything away which obstructs or takes away in your relationship to Krishna. Make some changes in your life. Because remember, in this world, there are only two spiritual things. You and the holy name. You must form your relationship with him. So, thank you all very, very much for listening to me so long. I know the circumstances were not ideal. I also had to take many of my notes and skip them, but I feel I have said the most important which I wanted to say. I'm very inspired. For me the time went, well, these were 5 hours where we are together. They are gone now, unfortunately. So I pray to Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna that they will help you to develop your affection to the holy name. What we will do now is we will place maybe better a Grihastha Shyamananda with this Siddha Bakuli tree. He will be where you go down the stairs so that there is some traffic possibility, and you can come and look at my little chanta altar. Not because it is the most interesting altar in Vrindavan, no, just because there is a cloth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you might get blessed by seeing this. Bora Chanta will stay next to the altar if you have any question. And he will also see that no one steals his imagine. It was worn by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had it around his transcendental body, and now it's there for you to see. Good. So as you go down, we are just preparing. You can sit down in the court of this little kutir, this little house. The picture here of the pavan, and in this way enjoy some nice prasad. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaudithai ki jai, Go Premarandi Arirgo, Holy Name ki jai, Naam Vrata ki jai, Naam Prabhu ki jai, Dharakun Chiamakun ki jai, Samaveta Vakta Vrinda ki jai, Go Premarandi Arirgo.